Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
If you're anything like me, you know the importance of eating healthy, but you don't always have the time or willpower to cook with all the colors of the rainbow. Organifi's superfood blends make it easy and enjoyable to add more variety and nutrition to your day. I am loving Organifi Pure as part of my daily routine to help clear morning brain fog, improve digestion, and support mental clarity. It includes 9 superfoods and compounds and is rich in beta-glucans and antioxidants. It's clinically proven to promote healthy BDNF levels derived from coffee berry. It also contains ginger root, lemon, monk fruit, digestive enzymes, and coconut water to make a delicious brain-boosting lemonade snack. Organifi has a ton of delicious organic blends you can try. Just add to water, stir with a spoon, and enjoy anytime for more energy, nutrition, hormone balance, and peace of mind. And the best part is that you can experience Organifi's high-quality superfoods without breaking the bank, with a price that works out to less than $3 a day. Head over to www.organifi.com/bestofyou and use code bestofyou for 20% off your entire order. That's www.organifi.com/bestofyou. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Allison, and I'm so glad you're here to discover what brings out the best of you. This podcast is all about breaking free from painful patterns, mending the past, and discovering our true selves in God. I can't wait to get started as we learn together how to become the best version of who we are with God's help. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Best of You podcast. I am so glad you are here today for this episode. It's the 3rd episode in the I Shouldn't Feel This Way series. We have 2 more to go. So this is the middle one, and it is so good. The whole conversation took sort of a left turn about halfway through and got really real about a topic that I know so many of you have resonated with, related to the dark night of the soul. We talked about it in episode 77. It makes an appearance here. And my guest talks very candidly about his very current experience in it. And because he shared so openly and so vulnerably, we went into this real-time conversation where we were teasing out some terms in a really nuanced way. And I'm just so grateful for this conversation. I had a huge aha moment as I connected the dots of some of the work I'm trying to do related to this idea of surrender. About halfway through, we talk about that. There's just so much in this episode, and I came away with so much. I can't wait for you to hear about it. In this whole series, we are naming hard things because I believe when we name things, it sets us on a path toward getting the help and the healing and the clarity we need. So if you're resonating with any of the things we've named in this series so far, whether it be a broken spirit, a dark night of the soul, we touch on depression in this episode. We talked about grief and trauma in the last 2 episodes in this series. If these namings are resonating with you, if you're like, I think that's similar to what I'm experiencing, please be sure to seek support in that journey. We talk a lot in each of these episodes about various paths to seeking support, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a spiritual director, a pastor, a small group, safe people in your life, whether you might need to consult with a psychiatrist or a medical professional. Please reach out for support. And toward that end, I want to remind you of some resources available to you. Number one, you can go back to episode 71 called Do I Need a Therapist, where I walk you through really, really practical tools to figure out if you need to see a therapist and how to go about finding one. You can also find a lot of resources on my website, drallisoncook.com/resources. There are links and resources there to help you get connected with therapists, with support groups, So please check out those resources. Naming what's hard and what's going on in your life is a huge step toward getting the help that you need. And once you have a name for something, you can take this information to that other person and say, hey, this is what I think is going on. Would you come alongside me as I journey through healing? My guest says it several times in the episode today, and I just want to highlight it up front. We heal through community. We need other people to come alongside of us in our healing journey. So as you're listening, just bear that in mind. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I'm so grateful for your commitment to this work of healing. My guest today is Christopher Cook. He's no relation, although we are often shelved together in the bookstores, and I just so enjoy the opportunities that we get to connect on our work. Chris is a leadership coach, an author, and the host of the Win Today podcast. He focuses on transformation and wholeness. His brand new book is called Healing What You Can't Erase: Transform Your Mental, Emotional, and Spiritual Health from the Inside Out. And there's such good stuff in this book. Chris talks really openly about his own painful experiences and the toll it took on his own body, even as he was doing everything in his own power to try to survive. He gives such a powerful illustration about the broken spirit that can result from all the years of striving, of performing, of trying to survive really hard things, and how naming that reality was the first step toward freedom. I'm so thrilled to bring you this rich episode with my friend, Christopher Cook. Chris, I loved the book. There's so much in it. There's so much good psychology. There's so much biblical wisdom. You know, this whole podcast is all about integration, right? It's my goal, as you know, we've talked, is to bring good psychology to faith-based people, because I believe the two go hand in hand. And you're doing that in this book.
Thank you.
I really want to, in this episode, tease out, because I think it's so important for people, how do we differentiate from this sort of self-help gospel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my books are always in Christian self-help. I imagine yours are. What does that even mean? And how do we tease that out from true Holy Spirit-led transformation? But tell us, before we dive into that, I want us to hear a little bit, set the stage, you do it so beautifully in the book, about your story, about what led you to going on this path so deeply. It came out of your own personal pain.
It really did, Allison, and what a great place to start. I reached an inflection point in my own journey of pain where I realized I can't do this anymore. And that was in late October 2014, again, where I reached this place of saying, life is moving forward and I am not. And I think a lot of our friends joined with us today might be facing the same feeling, at least subconsciously, like I'm looking around me and it feels like everyone's moving forward, but somehow my wheels are spinning in the mud, so to speak. And we can dive into that, but let me rewind to get us to the place of October 2014. So in 1994, I was 11 and a half years old, and my mom was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a medically incurable diagnosis. It's a terminal diagnosis. And at the time, in the early 90s, my mom, being a 37-year-old Caucasian woman, was such an anomaly because the disease at the time typically showed up in elderly Black men. And so doctors were baffled. They didn't know what to do. So they said, here, you could do a stem cell transplant or do nothing. So just to fast forward through the story, she ended up finding a classically trained immunologist, a medical doctor in New York City, who had pancreatic cancer patients living 25 years past diagnosis. Medical doctor, but a form of alternative therapy. Insurance didn't cover it. So a lot of life changes were had at that point where the family's bills tripled, the income was cut in half, and she was on that program, I'd say, for 11, 12 years in 2006 after experiencing what she thought was severely strained discs in her back. It turned out myeloma was spreading throughout her body. It had metastasized. She was given 30 days to live. From 2006 to 2011, she was in and out of the hospital repeatedly. And it was just chaos around the clock. I want to just back up real fast to say, amidst all of this, Allison, my sister and I grew up in a very safe and stable, faith-filled environment. We had incredible parents. Both of our parents were professional counselors. So the environment was very safe and stable for us while the trauma was kind of unfolding.
Yeah.
So we almost lost her again in surgery in 2011. And then in 2012, in November, the day before Thanksgiving, November 21st, she took her last breath. I didn't get to say goodbye. It was really traumatic.
Yeah.
Because the journey with her was 18 and a half years. So 9 months after that, I mean, the state of complex post-traumatic stress in my own body hit fever pitch and my body crashed. Mm. And I was diagnosed with relapsing, remitting multiple sclerosis 9 months after her death. I'm not sure I wanted to live by Christmas of 2013, Allison. And I never thought about acting on those thoughts. There was no sense of ideation, but I was having 20 severe panic attacks every single day. Mm-hmm. Oh goodness. By October 2014, which is where I started my story, I had reached this inflection point where I said, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And it was a short time of prayer. I wouldn't consider it going into a time of prayer. I said, Lord, you got to help. I'm done. I'm exhausted. You got to heal me. And he didn't respond with, great, I see you. You're healed. He responded with a question. Chris, what do you want me to do for you? And I knew in that moment, Allison, I had been set up. So that cracked open the door to transformation, which we can dive into. But I'll hit pause there and throw it back to you.
Yeah, you write about the details of that leg of your journey so powerfully that show that there really was, again, bringing the complex into the complex trauma.
Indeed.
The complexity of trying to care for your mom, trying to be present to your family, all the realities, the financial realities. You were young. This was all the way into, I think, when you were about 30.
Yeah, exactly. My mom died 18 days after my 30th birthday.
It's complicated. It's complex.
Oh, yeah.
You talk in the book, and I just think this is so interesting, especially for people of faith, that you were, in some ways, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, a master of healthy habits.
Sure, of course.
During that time. You talk about having a playbook, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about that. I guess what I'm trying to get at, it's not like you were completely not coping right during that time, but so tell me a little bit about what it looked like for you to cope in your 20s, as you were leading up to this inflection point. What were you doing to cope during that time?
Well, while my mom was still alive, I'd say the reflex was just survival. And so I created a level of stability and routine in my life because everything else was out of control. And I'd say in part due to my temperament, because I'm a type A, very driven, high achiever. I like things in order. I don't like surprises. I don't love change. Routine is my favorite word. So, you know, in my 20s, it was creating systems for everyday life, and the systems created stability. But if I'm being honest, it was a very shaky foundation because I thought I could control life. But that is the biggest misnomer. Like, we just don't have control over the circumstances of life. And I thought I did. And so I think what caused more pain was the fact that when everything crashed, my whole paradigm about the fact that I thought I could control fell apart in addition to the circumstances falling apart themselves.
Yeah.
And so even to what you alluded to, through my journey of grieving, I still endeavored to create systems and, as you said, the playbook for health, becoming healthy. And, you know, even after my MS diagnosis, I had this playbook, right, of how I would become healthy again. But if I'm being honest, the motivation, Allison, for all of that was fear, not security in my identity in Christ. The motivation was the neurobiological reflex was, I have to stay alive. This is survival. It's fear.
Yeah.
Fear was driving my maniacal drive to put the quote unquote playbook together. It wasn't wholeness. So the fear was keeping my nervous system dysregulated, and I was in a state of chronic stress.
This is so interesting to me, Chris, because the system, as you call it, the playbook that you were doing, my guess is from the outside, didn't look that bad.
No, look great.
Yeah, those things that you were doing, whether it's daily prayer or exercise or, you know, whatever these things are that obviously that are good things, that's what gets so conflated, right? The system itself.
That's right.
You were doing great at, but you just said a mouthful there. It was the motivation under the system. At the time, the system was containing the fear, not creating a healing place for the fear.
you nailed it, Allison. That's it. The drive to fix my body, to fix my mind, to create stability again in my life was because of the trauma and the severity of the trauma. And I said, I just can't do this. I cannot continue to wake up like this. And the fear motivation kept my body in stress.
Yeah.
And so every bit of effort that I exerted was from a fear motivation, which immediately put myself in a limited capacity.
Reading your book, it almost felt like recovery, but recovery from a socially acceptable form of coping. And so when the bottom fell out in that moment of inflection, and you said, you're like, I came to the end of myself, I couldn't do this, my support structures also went away. And you think about it, you think about someone that maybe has an addiction that's unhealthy, where they have to give up the thing, but the thing is actually bad. But in your case, that's where I want to tease this out with you. You had to give up the thing that wasn't actually a bad thing. Does that make sense?
Sure does.
But you first had to face something, Chris, and I love how you drilled down on this in the book, and it's a phrase we don't use enough. You call it a broken spirit. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that, that just realizing, oh my gosh, I have a broken spirit. It wasn't even, you know, there's grief, there's all these diagnostic labels. It was like, I'm just crushed in spirit. Tell me a little bit about what that meant to you to realize that.
I think this is perhaps the linchpin, which excites me because my prayer is that we will awaken to the reality of the presence of a broken spirit. Because in a lot of cases, perhaps even from a self-help perspective, we approach life and recovery and therapy and trauma from a mind-body perspective only. But unintentionally, we negate the fact that we are spirit, soul, and body, not just body-mind. And scripture, as the anchor to my life, tells me that a crushed spirit, who can bear? Mm. So here's the picture I want to paint for folks, which might help bring clarity to this. Because some are saying, Chris, Allison, what do you mean spirit? Isn't that the same thing as the soul? Well, some theologians even argue that the immaterial is one, but we won't go there. Here's the picture. If our bodies were a boat and the soul, which is our desire, our seat of emotions, the mind, the will, the emotions, is the sail, because the sail sets the direction of the boat. The spirit is the wind and the driving force that gives life to the sail. Mm. So if the boat is sitting at a port, but there's no wind in the sail, it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. Ruach means inner drive, breath, wind, force. And I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the human spirit. And the life of the spirit gives life to the sail and sets the ability for the body to be in motion. And so the broken spirit, when it is collapsed, when our inner drive for life is collapsed, no amount of willpower, self-help, good intentions can overcome the fact that the deepest part of our beings is not soul, it's spirit, according to scripture. So I want to address that first and recognize, oh, I've got to get that spirit healed by the power of the Holy Spirit and a bunch of other great modalities so that my mind, my will, my emotions, my inner drive, the intentions of my life can be reset so that my body can be in motion toward whatever I'm called to do.
Our dogs love Sundays. I'm not kidding. One of our dogs was the slowest eater on earth for the first several years of her life. It was painful how long it would take her to eat. The minute we introduced her to Sundays, she just laps it up. She loves it. Sundays is healthy dog food that's easy to store and serve. Most foods are one or the other, but Sundays is both. It's fresh dog food made from a short list of human-grade ingredients that contains 90% meat, 10% superfoods, and 0% synthetic nutrients. But unlike other fresh dog food, it doesn't require refrigeration or preparation. It's air-dried, so you simply pour and serve. It's so easy. Get 40% off your first order of Sundays. Go to sundaysfordogs.com/bestofyou or use code bestofyou at checkout. I just got my box of Factor meals for the week, and it is the best feeling. My refrigerator is filled with 8 restaurant quality, healthy meals to feed my family on an otherwise super busy week. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. It's so easy. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or even vegan and veggie. And you can also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/bestofyou50 and use code bestofyou50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code bestofyou50 at factormeals.com/bestofyou50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's factormeals.com/bestofyou50. So, Chris, to use that metaphor, I love the metaphor, is it almost like prior to this inflection point, prior to this moment of reckoning, it's almost like you were working on the boat. You had this really even vibrant, huge, well-functioning boat, but it literally could not sail because, it's heartbreaking when you put it that way, because your spirit was crushed. It didn't matter how hard you worked to get yourself together.
You nailed it. That's it, Allison.
And that's just heartbreaking, right? Because how many people with the self-help, and I hear that in your book, you're pretty blunt about the self-help movement apart from addressing the spirit.
Right.
It's just so demoralizing.
Yeah, it is.
How did you kind of realize, oh my gosh, I have to take a different approach here?
It was honestly the investment of time in the scriptures and getting the clear blueprint for how we were created. So I'll just set it up this way. We are the creation of a creator. In order to understand how I function best, I got to go to the creator and study my design. And so, for instance, I have, you know, an iPhone sitting right here. And let's just imagine, Allison, for folks joined with us, here's the metaphor. If this iPhone, if I didn't understand the full function, how this was designed and how it was made to function at optimal state, I could say, oh, this is a door stop. It's heavy enough. It'll stop my door from closing automatically. And it will. But am I using this according to design? No. So therefore, I go to the scriptures and I say, okay, scripture is clear about the fact that we are created spirit, soul, body. We are spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And scripture is very clear also about the state of a broken spirit and what it will do to a human being when that experience is present in their lives. And so, you know, for instance, Solomon said it in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, a paraphrase of it, basically that the strong spirit of a person, the strong inner drive, wind, breath, life force, can sustain him or her in bodily pain, in sickness. But then he asks this question, who can withstand a broken spirit, a broken inner drive, a broken life force, courage, animation, vigor? Those are all words used to describe the ruach. So what that tells me is my best efforts on my best day, in my best ideas, will never overcome the subconscious broken state of my human spirit whose drive for life is gone. Let's just put a modern term on it. I think it's close to burnout, but it's way more extreme than burnout. I think it's like languishing, but it's more extreme. It is this, and I talk about this in the book, this is not just a difficult season.
Yeah.
This is an utter state of defeat and hopelessness and lifelessness. I think, I just read a stat from Gallup the other day, which was collected in 2023, and the state of depression amongst Americans is at fever pitch levels right now. So it could be part of that too, but it is the chronic, unrelenting state of lifelessness. And it is so insidious that after we live with it for so long, we don't even recognize it for what it is. We think, it's just me.
Yeah.
It's just me. And we learn to cope around that. And because we cope around it, we don't address it. And because we don't address it, we don't get healed from it.
It's a powerful naming. I mean, that's all we try to do on this podcast is really name. That's my next book that we'll talk about next week is this, The Power of Naming. And I just hear, it was very important to you. I can tell when you read, it wasn't depression. It wasn't grief. There were components of those things. It was a broken spirit. How do you distinguish it from depression? I would assume there's overlap.
Sure. Because I'm not a medical professional nor a professional therapist, I don't want to put a ton of weight in my answer to your question. At the same time, I'm going to give it my best. I think it has notes of depression, notes of burnout, notes of hopelessness, notes of defeat, but it is all encompassing. It's I wake up and it's there. It's not I wake up and then something happens and it shows up. No. Like I wake up and it's there. I go to sleep. It's there. My passion and drive for things that I once enjoyed is gone. I think that's synonymous with the experience of burnout. But as I said, I think it's more systemic than that because the broken spirit affects our body too.
It's not just spiritual.
Yes.
Because the other term that's floating through my mind that we'll talk about on the podcast is dark night of the soul. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, Allison, I mean, well, you can go here if you want. I'm walking through it right now. I have been since May of 2023. This is wild that you mentioned this. And you and I are going to talk about this at length, maybe on my show, because I am fascinated by this. I had Father Ronald Rollheiser on my show a few months ago, and Rollheiser and I talked about the dark night. So I'm reading right now, St. John of the Cross's little book on dark night. I am reading Janet Hagberg and Robert Gulick's book, The Critical Journey. Synonymous with the dark night of the soul is that wall experience. Pete Scazzaro also talks about that. But oh gosh, what's interesting is Rollheiser told me this. Father Rollheiser told me, Allison, that in his experience, the dark night of the soul is not like psychological depression. He said, when a person is going through a dark night of the soul, it's not like psychological depression. When they walk into a room, they bring life to a room.
Yeah.
I'm not yet there. All I am saying, though, is that is a very present experience for me, and it's really, really, really painful.
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty about that. I think, again, these namings, broken spirit,
yes,
dark
ma'am.
Night of the soul,
mm-hmm.
They're scary. It can be hard, but also I so appreciate your walking us through it because it is different from, you can feel crazy. You know, if you go to a therapist, it'll just give you an antidepressant. There is a spiritual connotation to it that doesn't mean you're losing your faith. That's the other thing. People can, you know, put other words on it.
Yep.
There is a spiritual despair, for lack of a better word, a spiritual hunger that we can go through that isn't just spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's interwoven with our trauma and all these other things, but it is distinctly spiritual. And I love that you're trying to tease this out. I'm with you in it. It's so important. We've kind of lost some of that.
This is a working theory for me. I'm still working this out and unpacking it and discovering. All I know is I think broken spirit for me has been different than the experience of dark night of the soul. However, again, here we go, overlap. What are some things that might connote a dark night of the soul experience? The felt presence of the Lord is all of a sudden absent. My hunger for the scriptures is absent. There could be the presence of lifelessness and purposelessness. The dark night of the soul in my experience here, I'm 10 and a half months into it right now. So I'm learning how to hold both joy and a grief in the same hand for stuff. It's been very purging. Very cleansing, very hard, and it's nothing that I've done to bring this on. It's like this, and maybe folks joined with us would resonate with this. Imagine you get hit in multiple domains of your life all at once. That's what I've been walking through. Again, it feels similar to the broken spirit. This is interesting. I'm actually thinking about this in real time as we're talking. Let me just tease this. I wonder if, so I think about Psalm 51, is it 17, where David says to the Lord, the sacrifice acceptable to the Lord is a broken spirit. And this is after his confrontation with Nathan regarding his adulterous behavior with Bathsheba and all of that. But he says the sacrifice acceptable to the Lord is a broken spirit. And how many of us, Allison, unintentionally nurture that broken spirit like a little baby, because it's the last thing we're holding on to. Because we're like, I can't let go of this. This is the last piece of my soul. And we're attached to it. And the Lord says, I won't reject it. I won't reject it. And we're like, yeah, but life has told me people are untrustworthy. And if we're really being honest, Lord, you are too.
Yeah.
And so both in the dark night experience and in the experience of the broken spirit, I think the next right move is surrender. We could talk about that. I have a whole chapter about surrender in the book, because that, Allison, was the counterintuitive anti-self-help move for me out of pain. It was not to try harder, but to give in, which was surrender.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. So this is very real time for both of us, right? There's so much of this in the book.
Yeah.
But to have kind of the current understanding of what it's still like for you, right?
That's so hard.
I think that term surrender is really powerful, what you just said. And that's one of the distinguishing factors. If there's a biochemical, medical, you know, there might be a component of surrender, but there's also a component of, I need to go get on antidepressant medication. I need to, right? We're delineating something pretty nuanced here. In this case, where there is a spiritual root or a spiritual origin, that surrender that I have to almost stop fighting. Tell me a little bit about what that was like for you. And that gets back to the system that you almost had to let go of. How did that work for you?
Oh, you're such a good question asker. I love this. Okay. So surrender, because folks are saying, wait a minute. After all I've been through, now you're telling me to give up and just surrender? That's actually not what I'm telling you to do. Surrender in my life was not giving up and saying, whatever happens, happens. It was giving in. It was giving in to a process of confrontation of my own dysfunction, my own blind spots, the narratives that were keeping me stuck, the behavior patterns, et cetera. It was giving in to a process of confrontation that would, over time, in community and by the power of the Holy Spirit, lead to transformation. I want to say that again because folks want to get a hold of this. Surrender is the next right thing to do. It is the anti-self-help thing to do, where self-help says, look down and in and try harder. We're saying look up and out and surrender. Surrender is giving in community, because we heal in community, not alone. We heal in community. I'm going to give into a process of confrontation, looking in the mirror, so to speak, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Search me and know me, O God. That would lead to a process of transformation. Now, here's the key. Unlike self-help, transformation is not an overnight experience. Transformation happens daily. And we will continue to experience transformation as long as we live. That's the big key for this. Surrender, confrontation, transformation. Surrender, confrontation, transformation. Change is hard. Transformation is painful. But the pain of not changing is even worse.
Yeah, I'm listening to you and it reminds me, I had a friend in college who just had a lot of stuff. And I didn't understand it at the time, but I remember she said, sometimes you have to let the ceiling fall.
Yeah.
You work so hard to try to hold the ceiling up, and sometimes it's just you have to let the ceiling fall. And it's not a giving up. I love what you're saying. It's a giving in. And it doesn't mean that you don't get up the next day and maybe take a walk and maybe do some of the things we know are healthy to do. But there's something different in your spirit. The reason why you're doing it is different.
I have to give him access. He says, the sacrifice acceptable to the Lord is a broken spirit. What does that mean? I have to give him access to the most broken, vulnerable place of the core of my being, the place of woundedness. That is really risky business, especially after repeated adversity. Because adversity, Allison, is so loud. Adversity shouts louder than the still and small. Adversity shouts, where's your God now?
And shame. You talk a lot about shame.
Oh my gosh.
In the book, the enemy just goes after us. I'm always looking for ways to make drinking water easier so I don't even have to think about it. We know how good water is for our bodies. That's why you've got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. What I love about AquaTrue is that one set of filters from their classic purifier makes about 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you save the environment from tons of plastic waste. And it's super easy to set up and install. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code BESTOFYOU at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code BESTOFYOU. A recent survey found that 7 in 10 parents get an average of just 3 hours of sleep a night in their baby's first year. Moms, you deserve to have quality sleep, and I know one thing that will help. It's Cozy Earth. You can discover the secret to better sleep with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products, and here's an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners. Use code BESTOFYOU for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. The best part is Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products. Enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. They're built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights. Treat yourself to ultimate comfort with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep health. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code BESTOFYOU for an exclusive 35% off. The luxury she deserves. Cozy Earth. I hadn't made this connection until now, but as I'm listening to you, I'm realizing that's what I'm trying to do. And you and I have had so much, we talked about this with the best of you, so much synergy in our work. I mean, there's so much in this book and Healing What You Can't Erase, that just so many valuable resources. But it's interesting that one thing that you just said, it's what I'm trying to do with when we say, I shouldn't feel this way. The surrender is, I do feel this way. I do.
Bingo.
And that's what we're trying to do is go, I do feel this way. I just do. I can't fix it. And that is paradoxically what opens the door to what you're saying.
That's confession. That's true confession. It's saying, here's the truth. Here's the unfiltered truth, because he won't deal with us in the false.
It's so true.
Behold, you desire truth in the inner being, the psalmist wrote. And Allison, this is going to mess with people's paradigm, and I hope it does a little bit, because too often as believers, we approach the Lord with this sugary coating of religious dressing, and it's not true. He knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. He is a perfect, holy God, and I believe we are not to approach him with pride or accusation. However, we have to come to him in honesty and in truth. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, this is another anti-self-help move. There is a difference between truth and truth.
I love that. I love that in the book. Tell us a little bit more about that. That was good.
So all of us experience circumstances in life that are true to us, undoubtedly true. Fill in the blank with any one of your adversities. That's true. No one's denying that. But our perceptions and our ability to read our true is often so close, we miss the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And therefore, in the surrender, in the giving in, not only do we allow the hand of the Holy Spirit to redeem, to reshape, to heal, but we gain perspective when we surrender our true to his truth. Yeah. That changes narratives, that changes perspectives, because this is not just about changing our minds. This is about changing our mindset. The whole default way by which we look at life and ourselves and circumstances, only he can do that. That's the change of heart. I can't change my heart. I need him to do that. This is why, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, here's my broken spirit. Lord, here is the very thing that I thought I could never let go of. Here it is. And I'm really tentative to give this to you, but here we go.
we're going to run out of time and I want to get into the healing. But you know what? People are just going to have to buy the book because there's so much. Because I really, really want to understand this broken spirit. Because I think it's a profound offering. So I think what you're saying, Chris, is in those 20s, when you built this system, it was to keep you from having to face the broken spirit.
Bullseye. You know why, Allison? Because then I love this, Allison. You're so good at this. You're a therapist. This is why you're so, I'm getting free therapy right now. Allison, here it is. Because if I could build a quote unquote bulletproof system, guess what I did not have to do? I did not have to surrender. I did not have to lean and trust in and rely upon someone else because life and adversity had said, trust only yourself, Chris.
Yeah.
So if I crafted this little greenhouse or this echo chamber of beliefs inside myself and systems and strategies, which were all decent, like it was a good try. Allison, I didn't have to surrender my heart then. If I didn't have to surrender my heart, I couldn't, quote unquote, be wounded again. And I was exhausted of being wounded, which means if I could self-protect and self-promote because of shame narratives and could keep my heart at bay inside myself, I didn't have to get hurt again. But guess what? I was going to be a prisoner of my own life. That's why.
And that reckoning of, oh my gosh, I have a broken spirit, as painful as that is, and it makes sense that it's evolved into this spiritual dark night of the soul, is actually the path to freedom, because it was what was true. It was what was true. And yes, it brings up all, by the way, all of the time you're doing the system, you're a Christian.
Oh yeah. 100%.
We get trapped in our own, even our own Christian systems in a way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I could compartmentalize the fact that, again, I didn't have to lean on and trust in and rely upon him with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with all of my strength. I could sort of lean upon the Lord. I'm just going to put myself on the block here. In a way, because of my temperament, my wiring, the strength of my wiring overextended and under stress became a liability, which meant when I was provoked and adversity was so loud in my life, when I heard about leaning upon the Lord, trusting in him with all my heart, with all my mind, I was really keeping one foot, well, the weight of one foot on the ground myself, so that if for some reason the rug got pulled, I could still maintain footing.
Yeah.
It's trusting in and relying upon my own strength. And Allison, I found out so quickly that while I might be able to change my behavior, I could never, ever change my heart, which is what I needed more than anything. Healing of a broken spirit and the healing of a broken heart.
I want to ask you before we close, because I know the listener who is feeling this. I did a podcast episode on the spiritual dark night of the soul last fall, and I think I got more questions, and it's a naming. That's why I'm really intrigued by this naming of the broken spirit. Chris, what is helpful to you as you're going through it from other people who love you, and what doesn't help? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, great.
How can we support each other through this so that we don't feel alone, so that we don't feel like there's something wrong with us? Because I think that's also where the enemy gets a foothold and where we don't want to face it or name it or feel like I have a broken spirit, because then other people aren't going to know what to do with that. So how do we support each other? What have you found helpful? What have you found not helpful in your journey?
Yeah, what's not helpful are platitudes, pat answers. Let's go at this from the grief side of things, because anytime we experience change in life, there's loss, and that loss has to be acknowledged, named, space has to be held. We have to give time to grieve it, whatever that it is. I think about Jesus when Lazarus died. Jesus was the only one who could change that circumstance in an instant. And he didn't preach a sermon about how all things work together for the good. He showed up, he wept. And I think we need to take his cue. We need to show up, we need to shut up. It's presence over platitude. So that's what we can offer others. From our own end of things, we have to recognize that healing requires community. The enemy thrives in deception and in isolation. They go hand in hand together. When we're isolated, we're baited to believe lies. And when we believe a lie, we empower the lie, even if it's a lie, even if it's untruth. And so we got to heal in community. I'm a huge believer in mentor, spiritual director, pastor, counselor. In fact, I just got a hoodie last week from Jackie Hill Perry and her husband, Preston Perry. And the hoodie says, Jesus and therapy. I'm like, yep, that's it. I'm a big believer in that. We need community to heal. That's where, Allison, that's where the ability to name our pain is given life. And in naming our pain, we almost offload it from our soul, and its strength is diminished in a way. When I can say to a mentor, to a counselor, to a pastor, I'm really struggling to believe this, whatever this is right now. This is how I'm feeling, and we don't have to qualify it like, oh, forgive me for what I'm about to say.
Or fix it.
Yeah, like, oh, I know this isn't going to sound rational. We just need to be able to have spaces where we can name our pain. We'll sort through it later. But that's what therapists and counselors and pastors and good mentors are for, because we heal in community. That, in a way, I think, is similar to like a 2 Corinthians 10, where we're tearing down strongholds that are built in the mind. We're bringing again true to truth. Community helps us see truth for our true. Community is not there to invalidate what's true, but it is to say that truth is greater than true.
Bigger truth. The bigger truth. The bigger.
Yeah. So I think that's what we can do initially.
Yes, you feel that way now. It's true. And also, I can help you see a bigger picture.
And also, I love, Allison, I love that you said and also, because I like to say and also more than but.
Yeah.
And says it's embodied. Both fit.
And also. It's so powerful. We need both. We need both. This is... Oh, it's just so good. It's so rich. I have two questions I want to ask you, Chris. What did I ask all my guests, or at least most of them? I always say all, and then I realize I sometimes forget in the name of honesty. But I really want to ask you this one. What would you say to the younger you, that 20-something you, what would you want to say to him now? From what you know now, if you could go back and spend time with him as who you are now, what would you want him to know?
You're so on point right now. I talked to Kurt Thompson about this for an hour, and in a puddle of tears, I apologized to that 20-year-old version of me, because back to where we started, because of fear and the reflex to avoid pain and get out of trauma, I made him rush through grief too quickly. Mm. I made the 8 and 11-year-old me rush through grief too quickly. I would say to him, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I didn't know any better. I was hurting so badly, and I had a gaping hole in my soul, and it was traumatic, and I wanted that thing healed. Yeah. I moved too quickly, Allison. I would go back to that 20-year-old, 22-year-old, 30-year-old and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I rushed those versions of me through the process of trying to get through pain, but I think that's reflexive to many of us because we hate pain. Yeah, that's what I would say. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for that.
Wow, that's a powerful illustration of how we forgive. And also, it's a younger part of you that stepped in to help you survive that didn't know better, right? So there's that self-forgiveness, that self-compassion. I did the best I could, and also... It was too soon, too fast, too rushed.
Yeah, because Allison, it left me battle weary. I reached this place last summer, 2023, and I realized I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm just exhausted. And did a bunch of inner healing and therapy, and we're unpacking all of that right now. Did some bilateral stimulation to help kind of get stuff unstuck from my nervous system. But Allison, oh gosh. I have compassion on myself, though. So here's the thing, and maybe folks would want to hear this too. So let's just say one of our friends is resonating with what I just said about forgiving that earlier version of you. In the same motion that you forgive that earlier version of you, you don't heap on condemnation to the present version of you for that. And I'm figuring that out in real time, because my type A personality is like my Enneagram 1 inner critic's like, you piece of crap, Chris, you suck. Why did you do that? And then it heaps on shame all the more. And I'm saying, no, 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 no. That Holy Spirit, I need you to drive this ship, because I need truth for my true.
Oh, man, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I honor you.
Thanks, my friend.
I honor you in this journey. I honor what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I honor what you're trying to heal. I just want to say that. I appreciate that you're giving others some language who are going through this too, right?
Yeah, I hope so, yeah.
This is the last question I usually ask, and it feels apropos, Chris, as we're talking about the both and. What is bringing out the best of you right now?
Realizing that I don't have to perform anymore. I mean, that's as real as I'll get. Like, I don't have to perform for belonging. I am okay to show up. I have mentors that I meet with every single Wednesday night locally here, and his name's Dave. I talk about him in the book. I say to him nearly every week, your home is the safest place in my life because I can drive up and just be, and it's local and it feels like home, and I don't have to perform. I don't have to write well. I don't have to host a podcast well. And it is in that same spirit. Talk about what's bringing out the best of me is recognizing that the best of me is found where I am honest with myself, honest with others, honest with the Lord, and I can enjoy the simple things of life, like grocery shopping and going to get my car washed and enjoying a good cup of tea and a book. And the best of me is creative. I'm a strategist at my core, but it is not from the motivation of fear and performance. Yeah. It's from the motivation of I'm resting as a son of God, beloved Abba's child, and I'm going to work not for identity, but from it. And the best of me shows up when I'm just me. And I think I serve others best in that place too. I'm learning it. Oh goodness, Allison, that's such a fresh work in my life, a renewed work, but I'm committed to it.
That's beautiful. I thank you for giving us the best of you today, you know. And again, it's interesting listening. It's like, yes, in the book, there's so much I see, you know, the talent and the giftedness, and also in showing up so honestly as you talk about the reality of the journey. It's going to help a lot of people. Chris, tell people where they can find you and find your work and find the book.
Thank you so much. Healing What You Can't Erase, Transform Your Mental, Emotional, and Spiritual Health from the Inside Out is my new book. You can get it anywhere books are sold. It's available right now. I'm on social media, all platforms, simply at Win Today Chris. That's Win Today Chris. My podcast, my weekly podcast, you're about to be a guest for the second time. So excited.
It's a great podcast.
It's all about mental health, emotional health, and spiritual growth. It's called Win Today with Christopher Cook. It's a weekly show, and the website is wintoday.tv or book specific, healingwhatyoucan'terase.com.
It's great. It's great work. You're putting good stuff into the world. And I love that you're learning how to put wind in your sails a little bit. It's what matters the most. Thank you so much just for sharing so honestly and openly and for all your hard work.
Thank you, my friend. You're a gift and so good at what you do here. And I just want to say to folks joined with us today that if you have found yourself on this podcast, Dr. Allison Cook is a legend. And just keep listening. Allison, you're so good at what you do. I am not only a guest, but I'm a subscriber and listener. And I'm very thankful for your work. I can't wait to read your new book. And you and I are hanging out later this week, and we're going to talk all about your book. So thanks again for the opportunity, and blessings to everyone.
Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of The Best of You. It would mean so much if you'd take a moment to subscribe. You can go to Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts and click the plus or follow button. That will ensure you don't miss an episode, and it helps get the word out to others. While you're there, I'd love it if you leave your 5-star review. I look forward to seeing you back here next Thursday. And remember, as you become the best of who you are, you honor God, you heal others, and you stay true to your God-given self.